Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 8th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are studying from the big book and we are on page 63, paragraph 1 in the chapter of How It Works in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it begins with, when we sincerely took such a position, and then ends with, we were reborn. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry H., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R., reading the text today in support is Dana P., Robin P., Kara L., listen for Lois P. at the end of the meeting in the unrecorded portion for greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information, and then Robin P. will round up this meeting to the top of the hour by giving you some announcements of what's going on here at A Vision for You. You won't want to miss that. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, June 7th, 2021, is 17096, 17,096. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, Tuesday, June 8th, 2021, is 17101, 17,101. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Carrie H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melody, for your service, and good morning, everyone. This is Carrie H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having made a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be in service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. from Florida. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Tennessee today. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'm very grateful to be able to do service today.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Please take note this is a star 1 key function only that is best for this particular recorded meeting. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, How It Works. We're on page 63 and going to unpack paragraph 1 today. And it begins with, when we sincerely took such a position, and ends with, we were reborn. And I'd like to ask Dana P. to please read that paragraph and then describe the directions and her experience with it after that. And then beyond, we will invite others to comment on that paragraph. So stay tuned. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service and what an honor. Dana P. here, compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic in California. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided that what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could do, what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Wow. You know, so I have to put this in context. When we sincerely took such a position, what position is that? It's what comes before, where it says we had to quit playing God. You know, I spent my whole life thinking that I had to manage everything. And it worked for a time. It worked in many situations. But it stopped working. Just like it says in that paragraph before, it didn't work. It stopped working for me, this way of dealing with the drama of my life. And what did we have to do? What position was that? We had to give it to God, you know, let him be the director of our life. Let him be the principal. Let him be our father, and that we would become children. And it's so amazing to me when I think about this. It's like, what this is the how and the why of it. Isn't that what children ask? How, why, how, why, how, why? And so when I started asking God, how and why, are you here to run my life anew? The answer started coming to me. And this whole paragraph here is about the promises. You know, once we finally made the decision, and this isn't that we really do anything. You know, we just are making a decision, as simple as it is. It really is simple, not necessarily easy. Wasn't easy for me. I fought it and fought it and fought it. Just like my physical birth, I was a very difficult child and actually came out backwards. I came out ass end first. The first thing the doctor knew about me was that I was a girl. And this was in the 60s before they had ultrasounds. So, you know, it's so amazing to me how all of this comes together. And so we make this decision now, but that's not the magic wand that changes everything for us. That's not the magic wand that reverses into this new experience, because now we get to do the work. We absolutely get to do this work. That is remarkable. And during this experience of coming up to what's in the next beautiful paragraph here about the step three prayer, that leads us to these promises, is that this idea of being reborn. And what is that for me? That being reborn is recognizing that my God now lives in me. And in some religion, it's called, you know, Jesus lives into me. I'm born again. And in another, they talk about the Holy Spirit, which lives and moves in us. And in the promises later on, it talks about how we would intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And for me, you know, it's my beloved master that speaks to me from that place of intuitive knowing. And it's really God guiding and directing my life. And when I'm willing and open and available to listen and to direct that answer to my prayer, that answer to my question, that's when I realize that, wow, I'm no longer interested in my little plans and my little things that I may want, that I'm interested in others. I'm interested in my fellows. I'm interested in contributing to this beautiful life on this planet. And that's when the power flows in to give me the ability to use God's will to be able to get into action and do that. So what a beautiful, beautiful paragraph. And I'm going to pass because I'm really excited to hear what other people have to say about this. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana P. Dana P. is from California. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 63 of the big book in the chapter, How It Works. If you're interested in commenting for your 3 minutes, I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, and also remind you that we do value all experience here, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you shared on Friday, tomorrow would be your day to share. But other than that, I am ready to take a few names.
Janice K.
Dawn B.
Eileen M.
Janice, what was the last name, last initial?
K, Oregon.
From Oregon, great. And I got Eileen, Roz. But I got somebody just before Eileen. And was
Dawn
that
B.
Dev?
Aaron R.
Was it Dev? I'm not sure. It was the second
Dawn
position.
D.
We'll go
Dawn
with Dawn
D.
as the fourth one. Okay, got your fourth.
Roz
uh-huh.
G.
Roz
Aaron
G.
R.
Aaron R.
Robin
okay,
E.
Dev E. Oops, Robin. Okay, Dev, I think I had you close to the top. So that gives me this exactly what I want there. So great. Great way to start out. This is what I have. I have Janice K, Dev E, Eileen, Dawn, Roz, Aaron, and Robin. in that order. Janice, you want to go ahead for your three, and then we'll slide into Deb.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, mm-hmm. This is Janice Kay in Oregon. They are promises, and I read this, and I think, wow, this is my life for the last year. I absolutely, I don't know what, support, witness, vouch to the truth of the statements that it makes here. As I felt new power flow in, as I enjoyed peace of mind, as I discovered I could face life successfully, as I became convinced of his presence, I began to lose my fear of today, tomorrow, or hereafter. I was reborn. And, you know, if you do the work given to you to do, that's what you get. You get to be reborn. You get a new life. You get a different life. So, anyway, I'm going to say this is more than promises. This is what we become. Thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. Dev E., you're up for three. And then let's see who follows.
Hi,
you. Eileen
you.
M. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Hey, hi, it's Dev E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And this sentence, being all-powerful, really jumps out at me today because it's, you know, I was just told in the preceding paragraph that I have to quit playing God. And this is reminding me that my higher power is all-powerful. Like, I can rest assured that my higher power is perfectly well-equipped to guide me and instruct me in how I should go about living my life. I don't need to question that. I don't need to, you know, second guess it, hesitate about it. That power is really everything I need and will give me everything I need if I'm open to turning my life over every day. And I need that reminder every day that my higher power's got my back. My higher power will not fail me. It might not be exactly the plan I wanted, but it will be the right plan that I'm supposed to follow. And as more and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life, that to me, what I hear in there is more and more I've become interested in seeing what my higher power has planned for me. You know, the life I have today is not one I imagined. There are a lot of things that I imagined, but there are a lot of things also I had no idea I'd be doing at this point. And this crazy, huge international move I made 9 months ago from California to Israel was just, it's probably my best example yet of how my higher power is all powerful and is guiding me. And how far I've come in my willingness to turn my life over and trust. And I keep being reminded and shown that it turns out pretty well when I trust. I have many examples of how things don't turn out well when I, you know, in the times when I didn't believe that a higher power could guide me in my life and that I wasn't leading a spiritual life. And I see the vast difference now. And it's just the last year has just been one leap of faith after another for me. And it's just amazing. And there have been, you know, there have been really difficult moments. But throughout it all, I just have this deep sense, this deep intuition I have that's been developed more and more and more with every year I work the steps, that I'm just and being shown the way, and all I need to do is just follow. You know, I've become a lot more willing to kind of have this attitude where I'm like, okay, higher power, what's the plan? What are we doing next? What's my part? What do I need to do? And where do I need to just stop and pause and listen before making the next move? You know, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Deb. That's Deb E. from Israel. Eileen M., you're next. And then Don B., you'll follow Eileen.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And the way what I'm taking from this is that we are asked to take a position. And, you know, it's the role that I assign to my higher power or to God. And, you know, it's kind of like the role I assign is what do I want God to be in my life? And, you know, this role that I'm assigning to God, you know, influences how I relate to God. Because, you know, before I did the steps, I used to think that God wasn't really interested in me. And that, you know, I was really self-reliant. And, you know, it talks a lot in here about self-sufficiency. And, you know, I never went to God for help with relationships. You know, and this morning I was thinking about the different roles I have in my life today. Like, I am a sister, I'm a friend, I'm an employee, I'm a sponsor, I'm a wife, you know, and I really need to, you know, in order to live successfully, I need to go to God every day. I go to my higher power every day on my knees, and I ask for guidance. And, you know, how does God want me to show up in each of these relationships today? You know, and that's the only way I can be successful, that I can, you know, I don't know, get along successfully in the world, is to do that. You know, like working all the steps has changed my image of God, basically. And, you know, I have a God that's personal to me. And, you know, it's kind of like in Bill's story when he said he didn't believe that God could be personal to him. You know, and that was the same way I felt until, you know, I got into this process, you know, submitted myself to this process. And, you know, what I've learned is that God wants me to ask for help in all my affairs. You know, it's something that's God's will for me, is to, you know, ask for help every day. And I'm just really appreciate this meeting so much. And thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Don B., you're next for three. And then, let's see, Rosa's going to follow you.
Good morning. This is Don B. from Southern California. Great to be here. Yeah, this is just, I think, the heart of the big book. And I just absolutely love it. When we sincerely take such a position, the position of, I am not God, and I need to quit playing God. I would sometimes introduce myself in meetings as, hi, my name is Dawn, and I'm a recovering higher power. And after some chuckles, you know, but more and more I realize that is actually the truth. The biggest challenge that I have throughout the day is to remember that I'm not running the show, to remember that my job is to surrender. My job is to hold on to my higher power's hand and to ask, what would you have me say, God? God being my director. So I'm asking, what is my line? What would you have me say here, God? How would you have me act in this situation? What would you have me do? Help me to see this person more like you see them. Help me to see myself more like you see me. Help me to talk to myself as you would delight in me speaking to myself. Help me to love this person as you would delight in me loving them. And so when we take such a position that we're looking for our lines from our higher power, we're looking for how to act in each situation from our higher power, we are then living in a life of surrender, which is the most beautiful thing that we can do, to not run the show, to be looking for how we can best serve our higher power. And that is what it says in the big book. I believe it's on page 85. You know, these are thoughts which must go with us constantly. How can I best serve you, higher power? Your will be done, not mine. And we truly pass into freedom. We are reborn when we do this, when we surrender our lives to a power greater than us. And we're no longer having this list of demands that we're stating that has to be done before we can be okay. We're no longer presenting our list of demands to others, you know, how they need to be in order for us to feel okay, how life needs to go in order for me to be okay. We're no longer fighting anything or anyone. We are living a life of beautiful, beautiful surrender. Your will be done, higher power, not mine. How would you have me act in this situation? What would you have me do? Help me to see this more like you see it. Help me to love this person as you would delight in me loving them. Your will be done, not mine. And we are reborn. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Oh, you got it. Thanks. Thanks, Don. That's Don B. from California. Roz G., you're up next, and then Aaron will follow after your
good
3 minutes.
Good morning. All right. Mm-hmm. Good morning, and everybody. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And I want to say that this big book, sat on my mother's shelf for years of my life. I had no idea the treasure trove that this book is as it sat for years on this shelf. And when I got into Overeaters Anonymous, one of my sponsors said to me, "Do you have the AA book?" And I was like, "What's, oh, I think I know what that is. I think my mom has one." And I said, "Mom, can I have this? Can I borrow this? She let me borrow it. It was the third edition. And I get a visual of opening up this book and like a beam of light coming up. And this page is like, this paragraph is like that beam of light that, boom, this is what's going to happen when you follow these instructions, when you follow me. And God has given me such a better attitude about work, because to me, work was, you know, going to get a paycheck. And I didn't really put much of myself into work. It was more of a paycheck for me. But when I have the attitude that God is my employer, it revolutionizes my attitude and my actions. So I go to work dressed accordingly, with an like impeccably, I don't mean, you know, every day, but, or I'm in with, you know, I just act different, and I have a much better attitude. I do what my bosses say to do with a kind attitude. I'm kind to people. I plan ahead so that it, you know, I'm serving God. And I'll just round out my share by saying that my sponsor in Al-Anon, and I'll just say that word once, is dying of cancer. I mean, she's just depleted. But when I met her, she was always leading meetings at this little clubhouse in our town. And the COVID has just depleted, using that word again, depleted our meetings. It's just ransacked them. And God has like said to me, "I want you to go and be there every week and be of service." And my little plans on Sunday nights are not mine anymore. They're God's. So that whoever walks through that door, I'm going to be there to shake their hand, at, you know, or do the COVID rule, smile, and be of service. And that goes with all of my meetings. Thank you. My life is scheduled around this program and God, and not my little plans anymore. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from California. Aaron, your 3 minutes starts just about now, and then Robin P. will follow you. But I want to let folks know while Aaron's coming up to the podium here that in about 6 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 63, in the chapter How It Works in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Aaron, are you still there? You want to press star 1? Aaron R.
Hi, Deb. This is Erin R. I'm from Chicago, and I am a binger and restrictor, and I really appreciate this meeting. I've been on it a few times, and I'm just in awe of how much knowledge is in this. I've been sober in AA for 18 years, and I just feel like a lot of times, you know, I want to hear, like, deeper, you know, and I want to hear, like, after you kind of, you know, go through the steps and you go through all this, like it, and you keep unraveling, you know, where is it? And I just feel like there's so much of that in this meeting. I've been in OA for about a year now, and I just see it's nothing like AA. It is and it isn't. And, you know, for me, I was struggling with kind of the two programs. And what I realized is just as what it was right, what it was saying in the book is that, you know, assign a position, like God will follow you wherever you need to be. And I just have to constantly remember, you know, he's right there with me, helping me, looking over me, guiding me. And, you know, I still am, it's just as somebody was saying, it's, you know, an easy, it's really easy, but it's like for complicated people or it's, and I just, I don't understand why I can't, you know, just follow a food plan and why I can't figure it out. And my big thing is I keep changing it. You know, like I can't get anything strung together because I'm like, oh, no, I need to do this too. I need to do that too. And, you know, perfectionism, whatever it is, but I have to remember that, like, invite God in. And my sponsor keeps telling me, you know what you need to do. Invite God in so that you can figure out what you need to do. And it's just, it's amazing to see that it really does kind of show up. And then I question it. And then I think, you know, I can, okay, I got it. I can handle it from here. Because my thing is, you know, the binging and the restricting and, you know, the vicious cycle. And I'm in it again right now. And I'm like, why doesn't this work? Why isn't this happening? And again, I have to trust God and ask God, you know, to be in all of this. And I think what I struggle with is just everybody always talks about, oh, it's all about your higher power. It's all about God. But how do you do that on a daily, minute, moment-to-moment basis? You know, it's checking in and it's, you know, asking, okay, here's the situation. I don't know what to do. You know, God, what would you have me do? And then, you know, continue to do the next right thing. I know all of that talk, but it's like, how do you move it from your head to your heart? And that's what I'm struggling with. Just why do I, instead of reaching for, you know, X, whatever it is, why don't I reach for God? And I know I have to do that, but it's just like this knee-jerk reaction that I don't have that. You know, I want to have that more, that that's like the only option for me. So I'm going to continue to work and continue to listen to this these messages through this meeting especially. It's just, it's so good. And I'm, you know, a lot of this really is moving from my head to my heart. And I thank you all for being so wise and continuing to show up. So thank you.
Thank you, Erin R. from Illinois. Okay, it's Robin P. is going to be up in her place of Mexico. And then after that, after 3 minutes, I'm going to open up the lines for additional comments. So let's be ready for that. I'm grateful to have that extra time. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks so much, Mel. Thank you for your service and everyone who's on the line. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently near Tulum, Mexico, on our way to Costa Rica. You know, I just feel like everything that I'm doing in my life right now, I just get to really rely on God. And how can I be a blessing and allow myself to be blessed? It's a full circle of recovery, and it's giving and receiving recovery, and I feel, I'm so grateful, and it says that as we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. I feel like that, you know, this is such a faith walk, and we're moving to Costa Rica, and we're going to go sooner, and because they're having so much sewage, so many sewage issues here, because they don't want to spend the money on sewage, and you know, I feel so passionate about the environment, and I'm powerless over people, places, and things. And before program, I would have been irate and resentful, and I just get to live in recovery today and enjoy peace of mind. That's why we're moving, so that we can enjoy peace of mind and in a peaceful environment. And, you know, I'm so grateful to God because God is all-powerful. And one of the messages I got in my meditation this morning was lighten up. And just, you know, the angels are fly because they're light, you know, like lighten up. And anytime I'm beating myself up, that's the opposite of God. And so I get to just keep practicing faith. Faithfulness and this faith walk, you know, and not relying on my own understanding. You know, that's why they call it faith. You know, if I was in control, which is the illusion of control, which is the disease for me, it's the opposite of that is surrendering to faith in God. God bless everybody. It's a really blessed afternoon day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. So the lines are going to be open now for probably at least three more people, maybe four, to comment on paragraph one. page 63 in the chapter How It Works in our big book. And just a sweet reminder here, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might be able to share on this particular paragraph today. So that means if you shared on Friday, tomorrow would be your day, so come back. But hang on and still listen to what we're doing here and be involved in what we're doing here. So I'd like to take first name, first initial, someone's last name, and their state.
Kathy K.
Hi, Kathy.
Rosalyn.
Kristen R. Let's take one more just in case. Anybody else? Okay, in the interest of time ticking away, let's start with Kathy K for now, and we'll see what happens at the end. Hi, Kathy, and then Rosalyn will follow you.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Melanie, for your always giving service. This is Kathy K, recovered in Boston, and I'm so grateful to be on the line today and to hear everybody's shares and the reading and to rejoice in the fact that I have a relationship with my higher power today that a number of years ago I just did not think it was possible. And because of everyone on this line's encouragement and your personal shares, I became open and willing. And I have developed a daily practice that enables me to be guided by my higher power. I want to share that I was at my son's wedding this past weekend, and it was the most joyous and love-filled event that I could ever imagine. And while I had considerable anxiety beforehand during the planning, God helped me to surrender that anxiety and just take the next right action. I am so grateful, and I know, because I am a compulsive overeater, that I need to stay close to God now during this transition back to routine daily living and to savor the memories and to know still that God is in charge. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. Up next, it would be Rosalyn C., followed by Kristen R. Hi, Rosalyn.
Hi. Thank you for your service. This is Rosalyn C. from Ohio. This paragraph, I just couldn't not comment on it. It just says to me that when I sincerely took such a position, and that word sincerely just stood out because I kind of played around and dabbled and thought I could have self-knowledge that would avail me much. But sincerely taking that position, all sorts of remarkable things do follow. I became conscious that it's not about me. It's more about him and what he wants for me. I discovered his presence that relieved me from this bondage. And then I also started seeing how my contribution to life is more fulfilling and more enjoyable. There's a peace of mind now that is given to me, and it only came because I surrendered. So, and I became sincerely interested in doing more for others than for myself. And so with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Rosalyn C. from Ohio. And I neglected to mention that Kathy K is from Massachusetts. Next up is Kristen R from Virginia. And I believe we're going to have time for two more to share probably. So get ready for that after 3 minutes of Kristen's share. Hi.
Hi, this is Kristen R from Virginia, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Melanie, and for everyone else who's making this meeting possible. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. So what's the position? Well, we know from the previous paragraph, it's that we have to quit playing God and that God is going to be our director. And that's just such a powerful idea. So simple, as they say, most good ideas are simple. And if we could just wrap ourselves around that idea that God is in charge. That's what I need to do today. I need to remember that 2 weeks ago when I got really angry with God, when I was so angry at what was happening in my life to my 11-year-old son and what was going on that I just hated so much, I picked up the food because I wasn't in spiritually fit condition. But when I sincerely take such a position that God is in charge, God is the one who is running my life, then I get some relief. Then I get some help. This morning I started doing something called two-way prayer, which I've heard over and over and over again on this line is something that works. And I'm so grateful for it because in it I hear God's still voice. I hear the quietness of his word and what he tells me or what she tells me or what it tells me is that I'm not alone, that there is more than I can see to the big picture, that I'm only seeing one tiny piece of what's going on with this life and I don't understand all of it. But I can keep coming back and I can keep recovering and I can keep doing the next right thing to get closer to what God's vision is for my life, because it's so much better than anything I can imagine, regardless of what's happening in my life, regardless of how much pain I'm in, regardless of how much pain my son is in. I can trust my higher power to stay with me, to not leave me, even when I'm at my lowest, lowest bottom, even when I pick up. I still can trust my higher power to be there with me, and that's recovery for me today. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much. Kristen R. from Virginia. Anyone else want to comment on paragraph 1, page 63 in the chapter?
Britt Verstegen? Britt V?
Britt V. Okay, great. Hi,
New
Britt.
Mexico.
New Mexico. Uh-huh. Anybody else? I have one more spot.
Elaine S. from California.
Did I hear Elaine? Is that what I heard?
Yes, uh-huh.
From California? Okay, let's go with that. Okay, Britt, you're up first for three, and then Elaine will follow you.
Hi, this is Britt V from New Mexico. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph means a lot to me because my process of relinquishing control to God, an elusive control that I never had anyway, that process has brought me to redefine what God means to me. In my case, I defined God based on the most God-like people I knew as a child, my parents. And like all parents, they were flawed. And this caused me a lot of heartache. And so a big process for me of redefining what God is to me and learning to fully trust my higher power has been to heal whatever wounds remain from my childhood experience. And it's been a slow process. It's kind of like, for me, it's like carving the side of a mountain. And I just take out a little process. I take out a little, in my case, I'm using EMDR and some other methods. But I'm so grateful for this program because we learned that this is all sustained through service. It's all through really giving our life over to the care of God as we understand God and being of service to others. It's a beautiful model. It really does work. It takes time for some of us. I know for me, it's really taken time. But I have maintained abstinence more than a year. And I am thrilled to see all of the miraculous changes that are happening in my life. It's not always comfortable. It's sometimes very painful. But I know that ultimately I will have a good relationship with the God of my understanding. And I will have a happier, more content existence in the world. Thank you to all of you. I pass.
Thank you, Britt V. And then next up will be Elaine S. That will round out our meeting for today. And just in deference for our traditions and group conscience and things like that. Just take care to not mention outside issues here during the meeting. I appreciate that. So we make sure that's clean throughout the meeting. We've been hearing some of that today. So we're listening to Elaine S., please. Thank you. Press star one, please.
Okay. Hi, this is Elaine S. from Santa Barbara, California. And first, I want to thank Melanie for so many years of service, so many years of service, and how much I appreciate this meeting. And what I want to comment on today with this paragraph is that none of this works, none of these promises are possible if we are not abstinent. Abstinence is the starting point, and it's a painful starting point because of the white knuckle period, the food calling. But this is what happens. It's over time, one day at a time, we are able to connect with God. We're able to surrender. And I think that's the reason I wanted to speak today, is I hadn't heard that one word of surrender, because it's the letting go. It's the trusting. And I did hear people mention the not being alone. And it's being in this program for the first time, I recognize I am not alone. No matter what happens, I am not alone. That God is there if I reach out to God. And I just want to thank everybody for this meeting. And I've been listening for 5.5 years, and this is the first time I've spoken. With that, I pass. What happened?
Are we all still there? Thanks so much for you, for your share today, Elaine. Appreciate you being on the sharing force today. We have time for about 1.5 minutes, possibly up to two minutes share, if somebody would like to take that. If not, we could certainly use
Manya
that time for
Elsie.
I heard Manya first. Okay, Manya, 90 seconds. Madam, is your time.
Thank you. Manya E., recovering compulsive overeater from Louisiana. I love this paragraph as well. I have been struggling a lot with turning my will and my life over to God. And this paragraph talks about step three, how to, you know, to begin to surrender, to make that decision. And for me, decision making is very hard. I weigh it back and forth, and I can, you know, just think about what if this happens, what if that happens. And with this step, I have to let go of all my preconceived ideas, let go of everything that I've believed that happened in the past. And it's not about what my higher power has done to me. I have to realize it's what my higher power can do for me. And I have to be willing to surrender and give up my will. And in this paragraph, there are 9 promises, if I counted correctly. And it's all about spirituality. It's about me staying close to my higher power and seeking every day throughout my day. And I'm just so grateful that I have this reminder, and that I have all of you who have shared so amazing today, and, you know, and for this program, that I continue on my journey, and I am not alone either. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nice way to round out our meeting of sharing today. So we're now going to start the process of closing up the recorded portion of the meeting, but be reminded that we have 10 more minutes of unrecorded time. So stay in your seats. Join us to the top of the hour as we start the process of wrapping up the recording. And what I'd like to do is ask Robin P. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Then we'll move over to the Serenity Prayer to say together. Thank you. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks so much, Mal. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. He chooses that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.